Welcome to the Grace Hour Show, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Jesse Fires, and today I'm joined by Zane Turk. Welcome, Zane.
Hey, what's up, Jesse? Great to be with you today.
Yeah, come on. Thank you for coming in on short notice and just being with me. And yeah, it's all well.
Yeah, all is well. I'm looking forward to this great topic we have today.
Yeah, so we've been having a lot. Yesterday we had JB on, special guest. Now special guest Zane Turk this week. So we are blessed this week. This week's theme is Kingdoms at War, and today we have the special topic of transformation versus modification. So maybe just to start us off, what war are we talking about? So we are saying that there's two kingdoms at war, and one is producing or giving you modification, offering you modification, while there's another kingdom that speaks about transformation. And this isn't saying like good versus bad in a way, but it's external changes versus an internal renewal or new life. So most of us don't even realize that we choose, you know, one or the other each day. You know, we could choose to modify things, or we could choose to, you know, internally change. And we'll get talk about that today, and hope just develop good conversations and open this scripture up. So maybe Zane, at the top of your head, maybe if you want to start, anything that comes first to your mind.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I guess we can just kind of start off in just defining the two kingdoms, and really the head of both kingdoms, one being Christ, is he's the head of the church, and the other is that Satan is the, you know, he's the father of lies. He's the author of deceit, and he is the one that was cast down to the earth. And if we just take we can take maybe a little comparison just with two certain words that are used to describe Christ and Satan. One is that, Genesis 3:1, it says that the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field, right? And that word cunning is also, it can be, translated for wisdom as well. So it's cunning or deceit, but that's also the opposite or the antithesis of wisdom. And we know that 1 Corinthians 1:30, that Christ became to us the wisdom from God. So on one hand, we have the father of lies, the father of cunning deceit, deceiving men in the garden. And on the other hand, we have Christ, the head of the church, who is wisdom from God. The other word that we'll be hitting on today is transformed. And we see in Matthew 17 that Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, he was transformed or transfigured before the disciples, and they saw who Christ really was on the inside. If they had any doubt about who he was, that doubt was done away with on the mountain when they saw him become white as light, dazzling, shining. His clothes became radiant, white, and bright. And that was really the glory of Christ coming through. He was transformed before their eyes. And that kind of brings us to the next point where I'll let you take off from here, Jesse, is that 2 Corinthians 11 is where we see the contrast of Christ being transformed in his true glory. And 2 Corinthians 11:14, it says that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Another translation for that word disguises is transformed, right? That in our English language, it says that Satan transforms himself. He disguises himself as an angel of light. But that's really just a show, and that's not really who he is on the inside, but he has to put that on. Whereas Christ, he was showing his fleshly man, his humanity, but really on the inside, he was full of glory. So there we kind of have the contrast. One kingdom, one head of the one kingdom, which is Christ, and the head of the other kingdom, which is Satan. And Satan has to disguise himself.
That's beautiful, and it's funny because we're using transformation as a good thing. It's transformation versus modification. The scripture uses the word transformation for Satan here, but it's actually meaning, like you're saying, he's modifying, he's putting it on. It's, and to define it maybe in simple terms, you know, modification is just an external or surface level change, something I could see and even can control. And that's what Satan did. So like examples we could think of, you know, your home, you just purchased a new home kind of recently,
yes,
right?
Yeah,
congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Have you gotten into any home renovations yet?
Oh yeah. Yep.
Any modifications?
A lot of modifications.
Yeah. You calling in some pros or are you the pro?
Yeah. I'm the pro. Got the Home Depot account, the pro account. I get the specialty parking out front.
Does it? Does that even work? That home? What? I'm building all these points. Am I getting deals on this?
No, you gotta have the pro account.
I do have the pro account.
Go.
I'm getting points.
There you
but
go.
What are these points adding up to?
I wish they would add up to Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A drive through points.
But, no, you get a free few shims.
Yeah, a couple free shims.
So, but yeah, so home renovation. These are modifications we could do. We could visually make something look better or hide something that is not, you know.
Yeah.
Even diet. I was thinking, for example, you modify your diet to make change in your life. So to say this up front, modification isn't evil. We're not saying that modification is evil. It's just limited in what it can do.
Yeah, that's very good.
It changes the appearance but not the nature. And so, and this is what you're saying, this verse, it leads to a strategy of a certain kingdom Satan uses. As that word transform is used three times by Paul in verses 13 of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 13 through 15. Three different times he uses the same word transformation. But this is a different Greek word. I'll try to pronounce it real quick. I have it in front of me, but I'm not – it's going to get wrong. Metaskazimio. Metaskazimio. It's going to sound like Mara to say it. So it's used three times in there, and that means an outward change, and like we're saying, to put on a role. And it's not the inward change that we're going to focus on. So Paul is saying that Satan, he's saying that he doesn't become good. He's saying he looks good. Mm-hmm. And so that's an interesting topic, that modification, that I can modify myself to look like something that I'm not.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, so that's just like, yeah, evil can change. Darkness doesn't always have to look dark. It could look good.
Yeah.
Like sin could look good. Evil could look good actually. And, but it's not an inward change. And so, interesting topic.
That is. That's a good point. And learning to discern that disguise is very, very important as a believer. And that's why our theology and our growing in knowledge of the word is very important, actually. It's not growing in a knowledge that puffs up, but in a knowledge that allows us to discern the heart of God. Mm. A knowledge that allows us to hear that certain sound, the certain sound of the grace, the finished work, the certain sound of a real transformation and not just an outward change. Mm. And maybe along these lines, we can kind of lay the framework for just understanding where we're going with this topic, in that we know at the start that our salvation is secure. Right? That we're born again because we have put our trust in Christ, and that there's none of us who does good, no, not one, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ, and that we receive it through faith, right? Mm-hmm. We're saved by grace through faith, and it's not of works, and it's not of anything that we could do to be saved. And we're taught really well that our salvation is final and secure, and it has nothing to do with our behavior. It has nothing to do with that, but it has everything to do with our faith in Christ. And that's secure. So we're not talking, today we're not talking about transformation versus modification in order to receive salvation, but rather we're talking about sanctification, which is like step two after salvation. Right? And we were talking before the show that there's three stages or three avenues of our sanctification. One is that when we're born again, positionally, the moment we're saved, we are sanctified, right? And that's found in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10. I'll just read that verse, that we're positionally sanctified. The moment we are saved to the max, all the way, in God's eyes, we are perfect because we have received the righteousness of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21. But here in Hebrews 10 and verse 12, it says, I'm sorry, 14, verse 14, for by a single offering he has perfected for all time. There it is. He has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Mm-hmm. So we're already perfected for all time, but we are at the same time, we're being sanctified, which is the second part of our sanctification. The first is positional. The second is progressive, that we're currently being sanctified. And the third is that we have a perfect sanctification that comes at the end when we go home to be with Christ, and when we shed this mortal body, and when corruption gives way to incorruptibility, and we are given that new glorified body that Christ has made glorified and perfect. And then we will have no sin nature anymore, but we will be perfectly sanctified. So this conversation of transformation versus modification really stems out of that we're talking about the believer's sanctification. And let's bring it down to the practical level. Is whoever is in traffic getting angry at the person that cuts them off? There's like, I want to modify that, or I want to be changed, Lord. Like, take away my anger. Mm. Or if different people are having problems in their marriage, or problems at work, or problems in relationships, or you know, there's all the host of sins that we could name, or a problem with personal sin. Maybe someone's listening to this and they have a real problem with an addiction or a sin, and they're like, I want change in my life. So that's who we're talking to today, is that the biblical answer for this is not like, you know, if Moses has a problem with stuttering in Exodus 4, God doesn't say like, just talk, Moses. Just like, get over your stuttering and talk.
Yeah.
You know, or if Paul has a thorn in his flesh, God doesn't say, just pull it out, Paul. Or, you know, Gideon is very insecure when God calls him. He says, I'm the least of my family, and my family is the least of the tribes. Mm. Gideon is very insecure. God doesn't just say, get over it. Mm. You know, Jacob is a deceiver, right? We don't say, Jacob, just stop lying. Like, that doesn't help anybody, you know?
Yeah.
But the Bible really has an answer on how we are sanctified practically. But it has a lot to do with the way we think. And that's why Romans 12, verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Wow.
And that's the heart of the matter, is that we have to be transformed in our thinking.
Yeah. Wow.
In the way that we think about doctrine, in the way that we think about changing these things that we know need to be changed, right? I've been thinking a lot about Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane, and how he wasn't able to pray. Jesus said, you couldn't stay with me 1 hour.
He slept, right? He slept.
And then what did he do right after that? Like, when the guards came, he chopped off the ear of Malchus, right? And I really think about that, and I think of myself, and how if there's ever a time where I'm lacking spirituality, I try to make up for it in the flesh.
Mm.
And the modification of our bad behavior is always us trying to make up for our lack of spirituality.
Wow.
But what is spirituality? It's really faith.
Mm.
It's really trusting in what God says. Mm. It's really coming to Christ when he says, come unto me if you are weary and heavy laden, and learn of me. Mm. Learn of me. Come to me and learn. And that's where the transformation of our mind comes in, because God has given us a new heart and a new spirit, but not a new mind. That's a very interesting point, that he's given us a new heart, new spirit, but not a new mind, because the mind is what needs to be transformed to think with God, so that we can have victory in these areas of our life that we know need to be changed.
Mm. Wow. So, yeah, that's, I feel like there's, like, this modification is so relevant in our world today, because it's always like, do be not conformed to this world, because they're always modifying, changing, you know, their appearance or what they do to reach a certain standard or to do better in this area. And you're saying that it is in the Bible, scripture says that all this is, you know, not necessarily bad things. These are good thoughts that you have, but it's what is the root of the issue? Like, the root of the issue is my heart, and I can't clean my heart myself. I can't give myself a new heart. There's only one person, and that is God, who can give us this. And he lays it out in the whole Old Testament, you know, in Ezekiel 36:26, I'll give you a new heart. Mm-hmm. And then we see in Hebrews 10:16, a verse after that. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, you know. And he fulfills it then. And so we see that, like, God's faithfulness in this, that I am going to produce something new in you, but it's going to take time. And I'm going to give you, you know, the law. And if you go through the Old Testament, I think this is huge, because in Matthew 5, maybe we talk about this a little bit, he shows, like, what is the issue. You know, he says, Matthew 5 is like, you know, you say you've heard before that thou shalt not murder. But then he says he brings it to anger, something that is produced in their heart. And then he also lays out adultery, you know, but then he produces, hey, it's actually, this is coming from your heart. It's lust. This is the root issue. You try not to do something. The Apostle Paul says it beautifully all the time. You know, I want to do something, but I don't do it. And I don't want to do something and I do it.
Yeah.
And it's just like this back and forth. And, but you're saying that it's, you know, Christ, it's this, what is, what you're saying before, my position in Christ is that is his word, that what he has given us positionally, he has defeated death, defeated sin. My positional faith, these positional truth doctrines in the Bible are so important, because this is what God has done for me. And then I could rely on that, and that'll produce a change. The word cleanses us, right?
Yeah.
So many different things. The spirit too, as well, gives us a new life and tells us to walk this way, not that way.
Yeah.
And, this is a beautiful thing. And so, God has an answer in a way, but it takes time and I think that was your maybe second part or somewhere in there.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time. I think of relationships take time. You know, we, when a person becomes born again and receives Christ by faith, like you were saying, like that is a, I could do that right away, and I could do that by faith and receive that in my heart. But the sanctification process is a totally different thing.
Yeah,
and that's like a relationship.
Yeah.
You know, we can't expect new believers to come in. They are babes. They're brand new, you know, and we can't expect instant gratification and change in their life outwardly.
Yeah.
Because God still has to work on it inward. Yeah. He's now residing in their heart. But now it's just like the sanctification process that he's going to take them through. And it's like a relationship. Yeah. Relationships are amazing. Yeah. You know, friendships, marriages, relationships in general are amazing. Relationships can be really tough and awful sometimes too as well, you know?
Yeah.
And so that there's this like, unique journey that a believer goes through, or someone trying to pursue God goes through, and God just like slowly reveals things in their heart and like, you know, transforms them like slowly in a way is what I'm kind of saying. So
And I love that you brought up Matthew 5, that Jesus goes to the root of the problem.
Yeah.
In the carpentry world, a lot of times, or if you're looking at a new home, or maybe you want to sell your home, and maybe the trim is rotting a little bit on the outside, and you're just like, throw a fresh coat of paint on that and let's put it on the market.
Easy fix.
Easy fix. But you can paint over rotten trim very easily. It looks good from a distance, right?
Yeah.
But like you're saying, Christ, he didn't paint over the rot. He didn't disguise it. You know, Satan wants to disguise that your sin. Oh, you know, everybody does it.
Yeah.
That's like, what a lie that is, huh? Mm. It's okay. Everybody does that, right? He wants to sell that lie. The rot is fine. Just paint over it.
Are you sure he said that?
Yeah. But you're saying Jesus in Matthew 5 says, like, this is the problem.
Yeah.
Is that actually you're wicked and you're sinful. And you know Moses, when he was on the mountain in Exodus 3 and 4, God gave him some signs, right, to prove that, you know, I'm with you, Moses. One of the signs that he gave is the really important one, is that he said, Moses, put your hand in your cloak.
Yeah.
You know, and when you take it out, it's full of leprosy. Right? And I love that picture because that's really what Christ is saying about my heart.
Yeah. Wow.
Put your hand in your heart and pull it out, and it's full of dead man's bones. You're a dead man walking. You're sinful. You're wicked.
Wow.
You have nothing. Even your righteousness is like filthy rags to me. And he says, put it back in and take it out, and it's healed. And it's like, I can heal you. But if you want the tumor removed, you got to get the scalpel. Right? Imagine going to the doctor's office and saying, like, doctor, I have cancerous skin on my arm, but please don't use a scalpel. You know, that's not going to happen. You know, I mean, maybe they use lasers today. I don't know. But you need the cutting away.
Wow.
You need the cutting away. And the scalpel is what makes room. And that's this word modification, like you defined in the beginning, is that it's surface, it's on the surface, but as believers, we want to go beyond the surface. We want to go to the heart of the matter. And while we're in Hebrews 10, we can also read verse 22, and it says, let us draw near, right? Yeah, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. And I think the true heart, if we could just grasp that as believers, what does it mean? But it means coming before God, and I'm not hiding anything. You know, I'm not hiding anything. Like, who was it in Joshua 7 that had the treasure? He had the treasure hidden, Achan. Achan had the Babylonian cloak hidden under his tent. And God is saying, you got to bring me your cloak. If you want to really be changed, you got to bring me your cloak. You got to dig it up. Get it from under your tent. Just come forward. Come clean. Lord, I have a problem with this, and I'm a sinner. That's what the true heart is.
Yeah.
It's digging up whatever is below. We heard an amazing message in New Year's, right? What is in the basement of your heart? But I have to have a true heart. I have to bring that to God. And as soon as I do, I'm available to receive God's transformation.
Wow. It's what was that verse? Obedience is better than sacrifice, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like coming, you know, in obedience. But then, like, we go back to that Matthew 5, and Jesus is taking the obedience part, you know, thou shalt not do this, commit adultery, all these laws. But then he moves it to the behavior of the heart, you know, like, what is your motive behind that? And I think in just humility and just honesty is kind of what we're saying is, this is what, you know, draw near with full assurance, with a true heart. True is just like an honest, open, like, I'm not perfect, you know, and
it's hard, isn't it?
And it's very hard.
Yeah.
That's the sanctification.
You
gotta
go to Joshua and be like, Joshua, I got something in my tent. Like, this is why we're not winning.
Right? Oh man. Yeah. Yeah. And then, like, but, like, God is, like, so gentle, though. And, like, he'll, like, the Old Testament was, that's a different example.
Yeah.
You know? As Christ came, like, he's just, he's like with the Pharisees and everybody, like, they're so focused on, you know, the Old Testament, the law. They're so focused on just their actions, praying out in sequence praying out in the streets. And, but Christ is just like, you're missing it.
Yeah.
That is blinding you. You're putting on this, what was it? This masquerade,
this
modification.
Yes.
You're modifying yourself. You're putting all this garment on, but there's people hurting out in the streets.
Yeah.
You're selling, you know, merchandise outside the temple. You're doing all these things, and you're getting it wrong. And now you're leading people astray.
Yeah.
And that's why this week is important, and it's hitting on an amazing topic like kingdoms at war. Yes. And it is true. And the enemy's trying to modify this, you know, so-called righteousness and, you know, this good behavior, this, you know, follow the law and do good, or you're not a believer if you're not.
And maybe just to add on to that, that's the kind of system of religion that the devil, that Satan will offer us.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're saved and you're in the church, but that doesn't mean that Satan's going to stop his attack. That's not going to mean that he's not going to try to offer you a counterfeit. Because the world, they have counterfeits in the world. But even in the church, Satan wants to offer a counterfeit. Yeah. He wants to offer the religious counterfeit. Mm. You know, that everything's good on the outside, that you can pray in the church, and you can do your Christian thing, but don't get serious with God. Don't come to him with a true heart. Don't confess your sin. Don't repent. No, but you can have your religion. That's okay.
Yeah.
Because it's all on the surface.
Wow.
And we kind of tend towards that as human beings, right? We tend towards just drifting down the river, just going with the flow, but not being so serious with God and not living by faith. But really, faith is the answer. Faith is the way out. Faith is that life raft that we can cling on to. And faith is the only thing that pleases God. Mm. And faith isn't religious either. You know, faith is trusting God no matter what God says or no matter the consequences. Mm. You know, the two out of the 10, right? The Joshua and Caleb had faith, and it wasn't popular. It wasn't cool, but that's what God was pleased with. Mm. But, just to kind of touch on the point that you were saying, that Satan will disguise himself as an angel of light, and he will offer the religious robe. He will offer the greeting places in the market, the greeting in the marketplaces that the Pharisees so often had, and the long prayers, the repetitious vain prayers.
So how would we discern that then? How do we, without being like judgmental too, like how do we, you know, as we're believers in this world, and like you said, there's, you know, a lot of teaching out there and whatnot, but even in the church too as well, there could be like false teaching or false shepherds. And I wrote a list of these categories, which is just interesting and, you know, maybe sharing just to get our thoughts going. But there's three different types of categories I was thinking of that the Bible speaks about in a couple of verses we hit on. There's one, false shepherds, false prophets, and false sheep. False sheep, a sheep in wolf's clothing. So those are three different kinds of, you know, modified people who are inside the church.
Yeah.
And so they're disguised, you know, to be righteousness. They're disguised there. The motives are wrong. Their hearts is wrong. And they're preaching a different gospel. And that we see maybe no repentance, and that maybe there's a lack of humility. Like, how do I discern that? And that's very hard. Yeah. Before I say the next two, maybe I'll give your thought, but I think to discern this, I feel like fruit takes time.
Yes.
It's not instant. Like, make decisions, like seek wisdom with God in your own study too as well. Listen to what they're saying, you know, like listen to, is it scriptural or is it just more themselves, you know? Is this person broken and in humility or not? And so, did you have something, or you want me to do the 2 points?
Yeah, no, keep going. I'm enjoying.
All right, then I'm going right back to you. I'm alley-ooping it to you. The second point is true believers. Like, let's say you're in the body of Christ, and people could see it all the time. Like, oh, look how messed up the church is. You know, look at everything that's going on. We said the first point is people who are doing that with a purpose and leading people astray. But two, there's true believers who just fall into sin, right? Mm-hmm. There's people who, you know, maybe there's a leader who ends up falling into sin and he falls short. Is that man a false shepherd or a false prophet? He's still God's children. He's still saved, like you were saying before, and we know that. But the question is, what is their response, I would say? Mm-hmm. If a leader or somebody you look up to falls short, you know, what is their response to it? Are they reactionary? Or do they go in repentance? Mm-hmm. Like, that is a question. Or are they resistant? You know, are they very resistant to what happened to as well? But like you're saying, that humility with Achan, like bringing the sin before, like that,
Yeah.
Like God, like that has to come from God.
Yeah.
Only because only he can like mm-hmm. allow someone to come forward with that. And the third point is hidden things only God sees. Yeah. God may cover sin mm-hmm. for his purpose.
Yeah.
And this is all to say that we stand before God alone and nobody's perfect in the ministry. No man of God, like we'll all fall short. But how do I have discernment, you know, in that and walk with God and know that, wow, he's working and so
Here's another good question is how do I discern if I'm being transformed or living in a system of modification in my own life?
Yeah.
Because I could be living in this modification and I don't even know it.
Mm.
Right. And I had a couple thoughts about that is that, am I sensing the power of God in my life? Am I sensing the freshness of God in my life, or is it mundane? Is it dry? Am I going through the motions? Am I going just to church and going home? But that's a marker or a way I can discern if I am having that sanctification, if I am growing in the grace and the knowledge of Christ, or if I'm just modifying my outside. Maybe I won't have any power in my life. But what do I mean by power? Not like physical strength or like my authority with people, but do I have power with God? You know, like Elijah got on his knees and he prayed 7 times. He didn't answer the first time or the second time or the third time, but he prayed and prayed and prayed, and then he saw a cloud rising in the distance. Mm. He had power in prayer, right? Yeah. James 5:16, the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Praying always in the spirit. Ephesians 6:18, always praying at all times. Do I have power in prayer? Do I have power over sin? Right? Maybe I have difficulties or struggles or I fall short. Mm. But this is the victory that has overcome the world. It's our faith. Mm. And God will give us power over sin. He paid the penalty of sin at the cross, right? But he gives power over sin in our daily life. If I'm living in a modification, I'm always aware of my failure. I'm always thinking about it. I remember the sin from 2 years ago, or I remember the sin from last month.
Wow.
But that's the modification lifestyle. But when I'm transformed, I realize I'm forgiven. Mm. I realize I've been made new. I realize that there is a newness of life that's available to me. I realize that the blood actually can cleanse my conscience. Mm. So do I have that kind of power in my life where I know I'm forgiven, where I believe God? It's not that it's because I'm forgiven, but it's because he has forgiven me.
Yeah.
And that life of trusting that I am, that's a discerning factor. If I'm living in a modifying lifestyle or a transformative, the power of an endless life, like Hebrews 7:16 says that Christ is our high priest with the power of an endless life, that we are forgiven and he is our high priest in heaven, ministering his life and his grace to us. Mm. So I think that's one thing, actually. Do I have a sense of the Holy Spirit in my daily life? Mm. You know, can I sense his presence? And maybe I can't sense his presence, but do I have faith that he's with me because that's what the Bible says?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's the transformative life is that I believe what the Bible says, even if I don't feel it.
Yeah.
You know, that's a discernment, right? Because Satan offers a lot of things that are contrary to the word, but they feel good.
Yeah.
Right. So it's really based on faith in the word. That's maybe one discerning. Yeah. Discernment, if I'm living in the right kind of system, which is Christ's system, which is grace.
Yeah. And then like, yeah, cause like I think about like the righteous man, you know, falls 7 times, but gets up, you know, I think that maybe there's a sense of rebound in that person, you know, who's maybe living in a modified life and failing or not feeling, fresh in their walk, but you look at Peter's life. I mean, even when like Peter like failed, like his biggest failure was, you know, ended up denying Christ. And after he denied Christ, what does he go? He goes fishing.
Yeah.
But I think, and we could relate this to all of us, like even when the person who's, you know, a believer and he falls and he's just feels like he can't get back up and maybe goes and does his own thing and kind of just like, you know, runs away in a way. I feel like God is always, he'll pursue that person because he'll go after the one and leave the 99. Yeah. And God will meet you. He'll go to you, you know, because he's a gracious father. And that's what we're saying. And he'll, do you have the, you know, the, just the heart posture, you could say, or just the right attitude and being able to receive Christ and his love when he's not even drilling me for this, you know, thing I did or failure I did, but he's just loving me. And I think the person who can receive love, you know, I'm not changing it. Like, don't worry about changing the outward, because this is what we're talking about. Don't worry about changing outward or, you know, doing the right thing or having to make up for what you did. You just receive the love of God in your heart, in your life, and let that change you.
Yes.
Because that's where, that's the, that my heart needs love.
Yes.
Like the root problem is like, I got no love in my life. I need Christ, and Christ is, and God is love. And so,
Yeah, I mean, I think we would be amiss if we didn't read the whole verse, the Romans 12:2.
Yeah,
because it really goes along with what you're saying. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." And that's an amazing thing, isn't it? Yeah. Be transformed, but how am I transformed? The renewal of my mind. Right. And this is what we've kind of been talking about the last couple minutes is maybe I don't feel it. Maybe I don't feel transformed. Maybe I don't feel new.
I want the feeling.
I want the feeling.
Come on.
A moment on the lips, forever on the hips. Right. I want to feel that chocolate bar.
Whoa.
The taste, the Snickers. You're not you when you're hungry.
Eat Snickers.
But we have renewal of the mind. Right. Mm. And that's so important, that because that's God's method. He gave us a method actually here that you would be transformed. But how? The renewal of your mind by thinking with him, by believing, by taking the word of God by faith. Yeah. Right. And I love that. I love because it really all starts with understanding that when we put our hand in our cloak and we take it out there, it's full of leprosy. That inside, that there's none that does good. There's not one person that's good. We were brought forth in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me, right? Psalm 51. So we have to start with that point that we are sinful, the true heart. But when I renew my mind because of the word of God, I realize that I have that new heart, that new spirit that God has given, that he has given me a new man, right? Ephesians 4:24 says, put on the new man. That's the problem with modification, is that it's trying to make the sinful man better rather than Christ giving us a new man, a perfect nature, that we have this new man that is a sinless man that we can't fully step into yet in our experience, but we live in that because our mind knows when we're renewing our mind, thinking on the word, that this is the truth, that God really does see me as clean, right? Ephesians 5:26, that Christ is sanctifying the bride and he's washing her by the water of the word, right? That he may present the bride spotless and blameless without any blemish. And that's how Christ sees us. That's how God sees us. And that's the starting point. Our starting point is the righteousness of God.
Yeah.
We're already there, but we have to have that renewal of mind. We have to run that pathway in our mind over and over that we would believe it. And it's not positive thinking. It's not the power of positive thinking, but it's the power of the Spirit that reveals truth in our inner man. And it's the only thing that resonates with us in our inner man, right? Romans 7:22, I delight in the law of God in my inner man.
Yeah.
maybe I don't always feel it, but the new man, the inner man, loves the word, loves this truth, and it needs to be rehearsed over and over, right? Psalm 1, delighting in your word, meditating day and night. So that's an amazing method that God has given us, the only method he's given us. Think with me, and you'll be transformed.
Yeah.
You'll be transformed. Look unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Yeah. Right?
Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus. We don't see it perfectly what we're going to be, but we see Jesus.
Mm.
We see him. And that's what we're looking at. You know, the beginning of 2 Corinthians 11 is that Satan deceived Eve by that she would be deceived from the simplicity that is in Christ. Mm. So, let's not be deceived from the simplicity of the transformation process.
Wow.
That we are just looking at Christ. We're just looking at him. Keep looking at Jesus. Don't look at your wound in Numbers 21. Don't look at your serpent's bite, but look unto Christ and you'll be healed. You'll be healed.
Wow.
And like you said, it might be slow. It might take time, but keep looking at him.
Yeah.
Don't look at yourself. Why are we looking at, that's maybe the biggest lesson we can learn as believers today. Don't look at myself.
Mm.
Just look unto Christ.
Yeah.
And when Peter stopped looking at Christ, he started sinking in the waves.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow. Like, don't look at yourself. Don't look at others too as well, because everybody's, you know, has their own journey and God's dealing with them in a way.
Yeah.
And you read that, was it Romans 12 too?
Yeah.
And just to bring up that the Greek word for that word, so that is transformed too as well, but that is where we get the word metamorphosis from. It's metamorphio, something like that. But it's where we get our word metamorphosis from. And what's your favorite? So a lot of insects, there's a few insects that make this change, right? Have metamorphosis. What's your favorite insect that does that?
The only one I can think of is the caterpillar.
Boom.
Come
nice.
On. Let's go.
I like the ladybug.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Check it out.
There you go.
Pretty sweet.
But, science lesson. Come on, tell me about it.
But it's interesting because, this is where the word comes from. And then our English term used metamorphosis is a change, an inward change. And so for these insects, and there's a few other animals that maybe go through, it's like the salamander kind of thing. But there's four different stages of this metamorphosis. And I'm not saying there's certain stages in life, maybe it's like four quadrants, you know, different areas of my life. God is like changing who I am inwardly. And it's not like it takes time is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And maybe we can, close off. I was thinking, Zane, thank you for just being with us. It's been great.
To be with you.
Maybe just the old covenant or the Old Testament with a new covenant, it kind of really balances this all out with putting the law in our hearts. And so the old covenant was so focused on the law and so focused on rules and traditions. And this is what this outward modification really points at. But the new covenant is bringing in what grace instead of the law. You know, and then instead of rules and regulations and traditions, is bringing in the spirit. Now you will be spirit led rather than being led by a rule or a law that I will fall short ultimately with. Mm-hmm. The Old Testament also reveals, or the law reveals what? Sin. Reveals sin in our lives to show us that we are inadequate and shows our inability. And I saw this because we were getting a snow day here. I had this opportunity to go through some TV shows, and I saw this one. It was a Christian comedy movie. I didn't get I don't know the title, but I'm sure somebody, it was definitely an old one. It was definitely old, but it's showing like the inability of humans. Moses is talking to God on the mountain. Uh-huh. This is where he's getting the tablets, and he comes out with three tablets, and he's like, the Lord has provided, drops one, and he goes, 10 commandments, you know, and that just shows, it's like, I don't know. It was just so funny. It just, I was like, wow, I didn't end up watching it. It just looked too much. But the New Testament is what you're saying, this inward change when you receive Christ, it removes this sin's power.
Yeah.
It removes it because the Bible said so. And then it changes my desire. I get a desire, a different desire I stopped desiring what I used to desire. I stopped desiring this modification lifestyle that I used to live in and that the world is surrounded in. I don't want to modify because I feel fake.
Yeah.
I don't feel right, you know, but I want God in my heart and to change me inwardly. And it's a tough decision, but it's a decision that you could just go unto God with and say, Lord, you know, I don't like my thoughts. You know, I don't like, you know, this way I'm going. Lord, renew a right spirit in me. Renew my mind. Yeah. And Paul would say, you have the mind of Christ, you know, and be built up. And so I think that is a point that we need people around us to support us up and build us, you know, in that direction. So any closing thoughts, Zane, as we close down, brother?
For sure. Closing thoughts, just to encourage everyone, if you've made it this far, you've listened to about 45 minutes almost of our conversation. Thank you for still being with us. We just want to encourage you as you go, just to lean in, just to lean into Christ, lean into Christ. Don't be hard on yourself. There's no condemnation in Christ, that he doesn't see your sin. He has covered our sin. He has paid for it at the cross, and he wants to make us like him. That's his goal, and he is going to do it. Faithful is he who called you, who will also do it.
Yeah.
1 Thessalians 5:24. And if that wasn't enough, he came back and said in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. So our encouragement is just to not look at yourself. Modification is all about inward, looking on the inside. But transformation is all about looking at Christ. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on him. Stop looking at the putrefying sores that are all over us, the old man, the old sin nature, but keep looking at him, and he will transform us.
Yeah.
Because it's his will and it's his plan.
Yes.
And it's his work in us by grace, the grace of God. So no one can boast. It's all about Jesus.
Yes. And he does it, funny enough, and then we actually end up getting this outside change appearance too as well one day when we go see the Lord, and that's in the Philippians 3:21. Changes of our bodies. So don't pursue that. Like, God's got that covered.
God's got it covered.
You're gonna want what he gives you, not what you could put on. Okay.
Amen.
It's way better than he's Chanel.
Much better.
It talks about the vile body.
Yes.
Vile.
It is.
It is vile. Oh, I mean, the stenches and the things that come out of this thing. Holy smokes. Okay, time is up.
Time is up. Wrap it up.
Zane,
it up.
Thank you for coming with us. Amazing topic. Tune in the rest of this week as we dive into different topics of this week's theme, Kingdoms at War. So thank you for joining us today. Please subscribe. What else can you do, Zane? Like, right?
Click that like button.
Can you poke? You could poke us maybe still.
Subscribe.
Not really sure. But please do it. Support us. Maybe you don't know how to subscribe. Call a friend. We'll help you subscribe to our channel. Okay? It's
God
important.
Bless.
Do it. All right. God bless you guys. Thank you for joining us this Wednesday. Amen.
Hallelujah.